everybody, I'm RJ.
And I'm Blay.
We're two best friends who weirdly have no common interests.
So on our podcast, Hear Me Out, each week one of us brings a subject that we're passionate about that the other person just doesn't understand. For instance, I love ghosts and haunted hotels, and RJ is a coward.
And I love eating breakfast for dinner, and Blay is not creative enough to try that in his own house.
Well, I like art house films, and all that RJ loves is Star Wars and Indiana Jones.
Using personal anecdotes, painstaking Wikipedia research, and a guest expert, we try to convince the other person to see our side of things.
So check us out every week on Hear Me Out, available now on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hear Me Out. You just might like it.
It's one thing we can agree on.
Good one.
One thing we have to keep in mind is that, and we talked about it on the show,
but at the same time, it comes from two different points.
Then all of a sudden, you want to say, oh, well, you
know what? I think for me, I don't know if I can speak for everybody else.
This is Dead in Sports.
This is the place where sports opinions collide. Dead in Sports. I'm your host, Kenneth B. Inch. Joining me on the show, we got Nikki Ducey.
What it do? What it do?
FIFO 24/7.
Yo.
And B will be along in a minute. They're wrapping up Dead in Gaming and Shelton. We don't know where the hell he at or what he doing. So
we'll see his hat before we see him.
Yeah, exactly. The hat will come in. But all right, let's just go ahead and get into it.
The NFL draft is next Thursday. Mm-hmm. That's quiet as it's kept. So I know somebody asked us if we're going to cover it live. We probably will.
Oh, when is it? Next Thursday?
Next Thursday?
Just the first round.
We did it live before.
Did we?
We did it on Zoom.
We did it on Zoom, though. Like, it was
what day is it? You said next Thursday? Mm-hmm. Like, what's the date?
It's the 29th.
Man, nigga, let me not go be in it, be.
Yeah, I got it. But yeah, as the draft is approaching, obviously these players are getting scrutinized more and more. But now it's coming to the other side as far as like the name Trevor Lawrence hasn't been really mentioned throughout this whole process because everybody's like, all right, so one, he already going number one, it ain't shit. Mm-hmm. But he had this recent interview that came out mm-hmm. where he had some comments saying that, I'm paraphrasing, but basically saying like, I don't have nothing to prove to y'all niggas. Like, I don't really play with a chip on my shoulder. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like the game of football. And I think his dad even said that if he walked away from football, he'll be all right.
Oh, that's not good.
So the commenters, some of them, actually it was weird because some of the commenters, because I was expecting everybody to kill him. Some of the commenters was like, it's all right. He ain't say nothing crazy.
And yeah, then, I think he kind of saved it with the love of football. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, obviously there's a lot of NFL players, NBA players, professional athletes in general that do it for the love of money or just because it's the most money that they'll ever make. So let me take advantage of the opportunity. But I think in Trevor Lawrence's case is that he loves the game, but it isn't like, you know, people say, oh, you're too small to play. You're not good enough to play. Your arm isn't good enough. You got to prove this. So he doesn't have a boulder on his shoulder. You know what I'm saying? Now let that motherfucker drop to number 25 in this draft and see what happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If you look at his life, everybody's known who the hell Trevor Lawrence was since he got into high school. Mm-hmm. He's been the number one prospect from the moment that man stepped foot on a football field in high school here in the state of Georgia. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, the bold or the rock chip or the wanting to overcome, that doesn't drive him. It doesn't fuel him as much as it does other players. And I think that's okay. I don't think that is a detriment.
What about you, Ken?
Well, I think it's going to be interesting to watch how the media responds to this. I don't think it's a good thing, even though he didn't say it, but his dad said it. But remember, they killed Josh Rosen for that, you know, being privileged and not needing football in order to be good.
But you know what, though, Ken? Josh Rosen doesn't have one iota of the talent Trevor Lawrence does.
He doesn't, but we're not talking about the talent. It's about, you know.
But here's the thing, though. We can't box all athletes in. We got to take people by individual basis. You, like, it's something that Chuck Daly said when I was watching, like, the Olympics and him coaching everybody and all of that. Oh, no. I take that back. It's Bill Parcells, another legendary head coach. And he was talking about that there was this one, like, undrafted rookie that he was sleeping in film study, cut him the next day. But one of his superstars was sleeping in film study.
I think it was Troy Aikman or something. I know a story you're talking about.
Hey, wake up, bro. We need you to be focused. You know what I'm saying? Because that's your superstar player. Trevor Lawrence has been a superstar since the moment he stepped on the
field. Yeah, but Josh Rosen was projected to be a top 10 pick.
But he's not Trevor Lawrence.
Regardless.
Ken, we're talking about this. It's not regardless. Trevor Lawrence is the highest regarded quarterback since Peyton Manning.
What good is the talent if there's no motivation behind the talent?
But he's motivated to be great.
His dad talking about he don't need football.
But he says he loves the game of football.
They said that about Rosen too. And then they said the same shit. But Rosen
is not Trevor Lawrence.
I'll say this. If Trevor Lawrence was black, he'll be getting killed right now. His draft stock would fall. Because motherfuckers always talking about, especially with black players, you got to love the game of football. Otherwise, they don't even want to look at you.
I'll give you that.
You hear that all now, over and over.
I'll give you
and
that.
And shout out to Lewis Riddick. I know he's shitty on Monday Night Football, but he came out and he was like, bro, this shit, I look at this weird. Because, like, you ask somebody, like, for who wants to be the face of your franchise, and he said, like, I ain't really got nothing to play for. Like, I know he a white dude, long hair. You know what I'm saying?
Sunshine.
Tall stature, good looking. He, like you said, FIFO never really had to prove nothing because he been that nigga. But it's the NFL. Everybody get humbled in the NFL.
100%. And it's not about humbling or this, that, and the third. What it's primarily about is what our eyes see, does it translate? Can he grow? Is he as good as everybody says he is? When we look at especially the highly rated quarterbacks over the last, let's say 15, 20 years, right? Like we talk about the Peyton Mannings. We're talking about the Andrew Lux. We're like those type of guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like up until this point, Trevor Lawrence is that guy. You know, again, like the only quarterbacks that they say that they rate higher than him coming out of college is Peyton Manning, John Elway. You know what I'm saying? And how many times that evaluators, the McShays of the world, who's the other youngin? I can't think of his last name. You know, I'm
yeah, I know who you're talking about, yeah, though.
But you know what I'm saying? How many times do people rate a quarterback that high and they just are nowhere there?
I'm not saying that he's going to be trash. All I'm saying is that this could hurt his draft stock. Because he.
But hurting your draft stock means not going number one. So you say he's not going to go number one?
He could.
Come on.
Urban Meyer not the head coach?
Urban Meyer is the head coach.
Urban Meyer want niggas to go through a wall for him.
But that's the personal relationship that you build with that player. That's the personal.
You don't think Justin Fields can go number one?
No. Trevor Lawrence is going number one.
Even though he beat Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence is going number one.
There's no question. No question.
No question. Penciled in. It was penciled in from Trevor Lawrence's sophomore year of high school. He was going to be the number one pick when it was his time.
Justin Fields was up there, too. He was like the top recruit in high school as well.
I'm not saying he wasn't, but Trevor
Lawrence. And he did shit in college.
And I'm not saying he didn't. All I'm saying is Trevor Lawrence has always been the number one rated football player in his draft class since he stepped on the field. That's not going to change because he says, I don't have a big chip on my shoulder. That's not. Why is that going to change that? Because it's about the talent. We've seen the talent.
It's not just about the talent because it's not. It's the position. The position is the face of the franchise.
But
that's what we always were sold.
But he has had zero missteps up until this point.
I'm not saying it's a big misstep.
I understand. But you're talking about draft stock. He's slated to go number one, so anything is a big fall. He's going to get drafted number one.
We'll see.
Do you want to put money on it?
I ain't put money. What you mean I owe you?
You still owe me 20.
All right. As long as I owe you, ain't never broke.
Whatever. Whatever. I can't rely on you, bro.
As we move on to NBA stuff, I do see the super chats. We appreciate y'all with the super chats. I'm gonna run through these.
Hey, somebody front Nick's $20 so he can pay
they got
my
$20
money.
Right here in total. Sebastian Pierre, shout out to you, bro. Is the crew going to apologize to Nick about Julius Randle?
What do we owe you apologies for?
I've been saying this nigga was an all-star. Damn near should be an MVP candidate. We talking about MVP candidates.
Hey, calm down.
Seven in a row. The Knicks just
calm
won. Seven and they beat. They, hey, look. That's why Shelton ain't show up because the Hornets lost.
Look, here's the thing. So if everybody in the chat, y'all go back some years when Julius Randle was coming out of high school, he was my favorite player coming out. After watching him for his very obviously very short stint because he got hurt his rookie year. But when he came back, there were a couple of deficiencies in his game that I felt he could overcome, but it was going to take some time. And some of those things were he was physically dominant in high school, but he wasn't physically dominant in the NBA. So that means that he had to get his skill set up. His jump shot wasn't there. You could tell that he had ball skills, meaning grab a rebound, push the rock, IQ, make decisions, you know what I'm saying, play pick and roll, point forward type motherfucker. This is the year that he put it all together because his jump shot is consistent. The IQ, like you could just tell that the game has slowed down for him. Mm-hmm. And I also follow him on IG, so I've seen the work that he's put over the last several off seasons. So you know me, man. Look, I'm a basketball lifer. When I be talking shit, I be talking from a place 95% of the time of really knowing what the fuck I'm talking about. And I knew Julius Randle at some point was gonna burst, right?
You see what you say, Ken?
But MVP? No.
I said candidate. His numbers are ridiculous, bro.
No, I know. They're super nice.
And they translate to wins.
Nick, but let's take a step back.
All right.
Part of those wins, you got to give a lot of percentage to Thibodeau.
That's fine.
Okay.
But he's the best player on their team.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
But can you win a championship with him being your best player?
Well, this team is not championship ready. So I'll answer your question and say no.
No.
Not necessarily
this team. Yeah. But can you take Julius Randle as the starting piece of a championship team? Is that really where you would want to start?
I'll take a gamble on that.
Here's the thing.
Because of what you said about his growth, he's improved every year.
100%.
I think he's one of the most underrated NBA players.
The reason why I'm going to say no, that he's not, is because 9 times out of 10, those guys that are the guy you start with, you know that within the first 2 years.
No, I'm not saying he's going to be the best player on a championship team, but you can start a championship roster if he's one of those pieces. He's a part of a big three.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. He's the second or third best player. Yeah. I just don't think he's the best player on the team. You know what I'm saying? So it's a solid starting point, but you can't really get past the second round with just him. You need to go get the number one.
Yeah, you got to get somebody else.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, no, he's nice. I'll give you props because the season he's having, I didn't think it was going to be this good. Especially with the retread of Thibodeau. Y'all already know how I felt.
I was cussing situation. Out the Knicks about that Tibbs hiring, but I was definitely happily proven wrong.
Well, here's the thing. Like I've always said, I think, again, coaches, I put them in the tiers and buckets. Thibodeau, in my opinion, Thibodeau is a very interesting coach, in my opinion, because is he a restarter, a rebuilder? Yes. Because of how he coaches and what his philosophy is, you know that young team is going to learn the proper way how to prepare, how to execute, how to get all of the fundamentals down to winning basketball. You know what I'm saying? The execution, the defensive schematics and all of that type of stuff. Thibodeau is going to give you that. But what Thibodeau lacks is offensive creativity. You know what I'm saying? And I never felt this until Minnesota, but it seems like he doesn't necessarily connect as well with all players like he did when he was in Chicago. Obviously, he's connecting with this team. And I think a last thing that I don't like about Thibodeau, he runs his players into the ground too much.
Mm-hmm.
He plays certain guys too many minutes. And I think that that's partly why Lou Aldang is no longer in the league. I think that's partly why Mirotic is finally out the league. You know, he's still playing Euro basketball. But he's just run a lot of dudes ragged. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that that's good for longevity in the game. Mm-hmm. So there's things that I love, things that I fucking hate about Thibodeau. But he's done what he had to do to get this team where they need to go. So I got to give him props because I was wrong on that. I was like, nah, they should never hire him. It looks like it's a good hire. But let's see long-term what it's like. You know what I'm saying?
Year two is going
to
be big.
Exactly. What does year two, year three look like? Mm-hmm. Are players going to start tuning him out? You know what I'm saying? Because we know how he can be. He's one of those agitator type coaches. I'm gonna be on your ass until you do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. Plus, I'm gonna play you 40 minutes, and I'm gonna be on your ass. You know, like is it that shit? It's hard to always perform to that. You know what I'm saying? So we'll see. But Thibodeau should be
coach of the year candidate.
Coach of the year candidate. And after you done clarified it, you know what I'm saying, the lefty, you know what I'm saying, Julius Randle, he should be a candidate, but he shouldn't be in the top five.
He's top five to me. You can't name me five better players now.
James Harden.
I said five better players who have an impact, like who are having like an impact on their team, like Julius Randle.
No, I feel you. LeBron, James Harden, Steph.
James Harden.
Yeah.
Where's he at now?
He's hurt.
He only played like what, 15 games with the Nets? Come on, that don't count. We got the whole season.
Bro,
if LaMelo ain't winning rookie of the year, you can't say James Harden is MVP candidate. LaMelo
come back.
And James Harden started off shitty as fuck this season.
Because he didn't want to be there.
All right. Oh,
because
he didn't want to
be
in
Houston.
He talked about Trevor Lawrence, talking about something. Oh, no, don't worry about his mental. He got the talent. He been number one nigga since day one. James Harden been in the same case, but if he don't want to be there, he play shitty and he a fat fuck.
But he still scored 30-something. He still scored 30-something. He still look like James Harden, just fat.
I'm a fan of, I think I even said that when we were having this conversation initially, I am a fan of Julius Randle. I liked him a lot. So I'm happy for him. I'm happy he's having a good season. But yeah, shout out to Tibbs. So I'm surprised he was able to, I don't know if I'm surprised that he was able to sustain it, because I always knew the potential was there. Mm-hmm. It just, for whatever reason, it just never came out in freaking LA.
Yeah.
So he got into a right spot. He was kind of up and down in New York.
You talking about Julius?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, like, look, think about it. Julius got drafted by the Lakers. Literally in the first game, within 5 minutes, he breaks his leg. He's out the entire season, comes back, has to kind of, you know, just figure things out. Like, this is literally your rookie season, right? Mm-hmm. So he has to figure things out. And then, what is it? They traded him?
He got sent to New Orleans.
Yes, he got traded to the Pelicans. He was there for a season.
Yeah.
And then he didn't
put up
re-sign.
Good numbers too with AD.
Put up real numbers. Didn't re-sign. Then he went somewhere else.
He went to, he got, I think he went to, that's when he went to the Knicks. I think he only played for three
this
teams.
This is the second year with the Knicks, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know, like it's, how many young lottery picks, they done play for three teams in the first 4 or 5 years? Don't happen.
Yeah.
It don't happen.
I was about to say Lonzo. But no, that's not
two teams. You can get traded within, you know what I'm saying, that rookie deal. And it happens all the time. Chauncey Billups, it happened to Chauncey Billups. It happened to Joe Johnson. You know, I can name a whole bunch of all-star.
Both of them with the Celtics, too.
I can name a whole bunch of guys in a rookie deal getting traded and then, you know, eventually panning out.
Mm-hmm. Going quick thing, super chat. Shout out to y'all again. We Them Boys, he said Urban Meyer gave Trevor Lawrence the playbook. And the Jaguars representatives were at his wedding last weekend.
What is we talking about?
Yeah.
I can't root for the black man.
Because Jacksonville got the first pick, right?
Look, he was slated to be the number one pick in the NFL draft since sophomore year in high school. I followed Trevor Lawrence. I followed him. Like he's the guy.
That's why Urban Meyer came back out of retirement for the fifth time again.
Oh, I can get this thing. Yeah. Plus all of the salary cap space. Plus we got talent on defense.
Urban Meyer got one of the greatest white man luck stories of all time.
Oh, 100%,
bro. This nigga get the best shit.
He really do.
Like,
but you know what though? But look, even though he does get very favorable jobs, it's not like he just walked into a situation where he could just chill.
Right.
Yeah, because Florida after Steve Spurrier wasn't just a chill job. Like he had to get Florida back.
No, I'm not saying he's not good at his job, but I'm just saying like the job placements, it's like all you really have to do is be, if you're at least good, you're going to be great.
No, 100%. You know, I have a mentor that always told me, bro, always told me space, time, and opportunity. You know, and all three of those things got to combine for the perfect scenario for you. And Urban Meyer is just lucky. You know, there's been a lot of coaches that have been lucky to get right into the situation when they did. Urban Meyer is one of those guys because he's still doing it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he done did it two other times. Mm-hmm. Like I said, Florida was no cakewalk. It really wasn't. He had to recruit. You're talking about at the time, coming from a legend, Steve Spurrier, he had to build that program back up. What the fuck was Ohio State before Urban Meyer?
Nah, don't say that. Jim Trestle was there. Jim Trestle. And then the tattoo Trestle, shit, yeah. That's what fucked up Ohio State. Jim Trestle probably would have been in the Ohio State about 10 more years.
Oh, yeah.
It was for that tattoo.
I give you that. But who did a better job?
They both won titles?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
They both won titles.
What you mean? You say, oh,
good. That's how I became a fan of Ohio State.
No, 100%.
Boo.
But look at the NFL players that came under Jim Tressel. Did they pan out? A lot of questions.
I got to look at them.
Who my running back guy that played against the U?
Running back play against
the U? He was trying to come out after
this. Oh, Carlos Hyde?
No.
No, I know who you're talking about.
Start with like an M or something, or a B.
He went to the court and everything to try to fight it, so that way he could play.
Yes, Maurice
Claret.
Yep, Maurice Claret.
Maurice Claret. Yeah. What are you doing in the NFL once you got there?
That was his fault.
His fault. I give you that. But I'm just saying, under Jim,
I thought he was going to be good.
Terrell Pryor. What was Terrell Pryor in the NFL?
I mean, we knew. We knew we won him.
Because they switched him to wide receiver, didn't they?
Yeah, he became a wide out.
Again, I asked.
He had a 1,000-yard season, I think.
Jim Tressel's recruiting classes. Who's the guy?
All right, man, whatever.
Okay, thank you.
One more super chat going back to the NBA. Edward Owosu. Hope I said your name
N-word.
Right.
Edward. That's the name. Edward?
Yeah. Sheldon.
OKC, needs to, right?
Huh?
Owosu?
Owosu.
Owosu.
Oh, the actual person.
Somebody need to tell Shelton to apologize to the Lakers. 2 games over the 6th seed, with the Blazers losing 4 of their last 6, and AD's coming back on Thursday.
Oh, he is.
Mm-hmm. That's what they saying. Mm. I think LeBron's supposed to come back around that same time too.
Mm-hmm. He is. I mean, the Lakers did their job.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
Hey, both your guys out. If you could hover right around 500.
That's the best you can do. What we tried to tell. You wasn't here, but we tried to tell Shelton that, and he didn't want to listen. He kept fighting it. Manny was here, and we were like, and we went through the games.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, yeah, that's a winnable game. That's a loss. That's a winnable game. That's a loss. And they actually did better than that, 7-12 prior to last night.
Because Shelton kept saying they're going to be a play-in team.
He thought they were going to drop drastically.
Mm. Yeah,
I was curious to see. I was curious. I was like, could be possible.
But looking at the schedule, they had teams that they should have been able to beat.
Yeah,
when that happened.
Let's not take away the fact that now that the majority of that roster, not everybody, they got championship moxie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like that counts for something. Mm-hmm. That is something that you can't physically see. But when it comes down to it, them motherfuckers got pride too.
And them having Drummond, that also helps.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
You got somebody that's more and protective.
Like, yeah. Yeah. He's helped them win a couple of the last few games.
Yeah. That's going to be.
You know, whenever he's on the court, you know, he stay hurt.
Yeah. That's going to be big.
He get a splinter. It's a wrap.
Yeah. When they get healthy, man. Once Brian and AD come back healthy and get in the swing of things, with Drummond.
And Kawhi's out for a week now.
Yeah, I saw that.
So things gonna get interesting.
Well, let's keep going with the injuries. All the Nets just they can't catch a break.
Boy. That's what they concerned me.
KD and Harden.
That's why they concerning me.
And you know what? Don't this look and feel like the Clippers of last year? All of the motherfucking buzz. Mm-hmm. Oh, they the new hot team. Oh, they got superstars. Mm-hmm. Everybody hurt.
They barely played. They barely played together.
Chemistry questions.
Yeah.
Even though I have less chemistry questions about the Nets than I did the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, say just because even though you have 3 all-time great offensive players, James Harden literally has taken the role of point guard.
And
he could set shit up.
Yeah.
PG and Kawhi, they never had that. So you know the chemistry. I push over to the Nets. They got an advantage.
Clippers got. I remember you saying they needed a point guard. They got Rondo. Man.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
he's a pass first. They got
Rondo's gonna be fine. Rondo's gonna be fine
because Patrick Beverly wasn't like that.
No, hell no.
Yeah,
Pat Bev is best suited either coming off the bench or playing with somebody that's like a point forward already.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying, like with a LeBron. Like you could play Pat. You could start Pat Bev with LeBron. Yeah. But you can't start Pat Bev with Kawhi and
Pete. Yeah, you think don't work. Pat Bev ain't passing the ball.
He said, this is my time now. That's what he told Steph last year.
Speaking of Steph, he going off.
Boy, that light-skinned motherfucker, boy.
Why you gotta be light-skinned?
Because he is.
Why are you getting your Kendrick Perkins on?
He just trying to represent. I know, right?
He gets his Kendrick Perkins on like a motherfucker.
You probably didn't see it.
I did it.
Yeah, he
apologized to Steph. Said, I apologize for any negative thing. I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. Anything negative I said, you know, you've been balling, whatever. And no, drop the 40-piece with the W. I apologize. I was just jealous because I was because you were light.
You light skin. I'm
he said that.
Yeah.
I thought he just said the light skin shit. As far as like, oh, he light skin. Everybody want to be like him and all that.
Nah.
Y'all gonna pull it up. Yeah. And read
he it apologized and said that's good.
Just being trying to get this Stephen A. Smith on, man.
Bruh, and he stayed with them the Augusta suits. What? On ESPN.
Yeah, okay, this is what he said. He said, "Hey, Steph Curry, anything that I've said negative about you, I apologize, sir. What are you doing on the court in the game of basketball is beyond legendary. Another 49 piece was spicy with the W. I was jealous because you were light-skinned and I'm not. Curry, carry the hell on."
Who said that, Nick?
Kendrick Perkins. No, Kendrick Perkins, the tweet I put in the thread today.
Hell no.
Yeah.
But you know, us light-skinned folk, man, y'all be trying to make fun of us, man. So, you know, I got to big us up when, you know what I'm saying?
This is random, but I had a random conversation. I asked him, like, who's one of the best light-skinned actors? Out right now, and it's a hard list to come up with.
Damn!
Oh no,
we should do that for fun. We should do that.
We was clapping. This nigga said The Rock.
Terrence Howard.
He's one of the best.
Terrence Howard. Yeah.
Yeah, Terrence Howard is.
All
right. He's not Ken.
Man,
we got a sports show.
Yeah, this is not for him.
They was asking for you, man.
I know. I thought he was talking. My mom told me they was talking trash, bro.
Yeah, they wanted you to know about your Lakers take. You said they was about to fall out.
I said no, sir. I said the same thing. They're under 500. Since I said that, the only thing that saved them was the Blazers' downfall.
That's so it. You said they're gonna be a play-in team come playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think what did Manny's test? Manny said they were seven out of their last 12.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're still under 500 though.
But you know, but look,
what kind of math is that?
But that's on.
Since seven of their last 12, but since I made that statement.
Just overall.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that's okay though. Because it as long as they're not hovering around 30% win percentage since the injuries, that's catastrophic. You can stay close to 50%.
Tread in water. That's all. That's
exactly.
What
we said. That's all you got to
do. He was right about that part. Yeah.
That's all you got to do.
He was.
Yeah, because they 4 games ahead of Dallas right now for this, and they the 5th seed. They 2 games ahead of Portland, and then they.
How far are they away from the 3 seed?
4.5 games.
They can get that.
Yeah. 4.5 games from
they,
the
3
they
can
seed.
Get
that's
that.
Clippers.
And that's just with Ant Davis.
Mm-hmm.
Kawhi out?
Yeah.
With just Ant Davis, they could make a run to get to the top 3.
And they 2.5 behind Denver.
And Denver's what?
Denver 4 seed.
4 seed?
Oh, they right in there.
Yeah, they're right there.
I
don't think they're going to let Dallas catch them. They're probably not going to let Dallas catch them because Dallas, right now, Dallas would be a play-in team.
There's only 15 games left. Play-in teams what?
Yeah, the play-in teams are Dallas, Memphis, right now. Dallas, Memphis, Golden State, and San Antonio. Those would be the play-in teams.
Man,
those ones probably gonna stay because I don't see the Pelicans getting that 3. What is it? 2.5.
Yeah,
game over.
Did they win tonight?
It's like 15 or so games left.
Yeah, they just lost.
Yeah, it's 15 games left.
And 15 or so games left, and they've had a hell of a vacation. So LeBron and AD.
Yeah.
Damn. Oh, they don't come back.
We got a super chat, Alex Campbell. Appreciate you. Even though you're talking shit. So where the Steph and Luka overrated takes ranking on the Knicks bad take chart?
It
ain't a bad take because we're talking about 2 playing teams.
It is a bad take.
He said that was a real bad
take. I was with you on Luka, Nick. So I'm not going to let you even go, you know, take this by yourself. So I still think Luka.
Everybody always say I'm hating on Steph. I have given Steph. Last week I gave him his praise. Niggas still said I was hating.
B, what'd he say?
What'd I say? Steph? I said the same
thing. Oh, he can't create his own shot.
I took that back.
Yeah.
I took that back. So why y'all keep on talking about this? Yeah. We can talk about your old shit if you want to.
But I got a lot less than you.
Where Denver at? With their title.
Denver gonna
be all right.
You said he was done. That's what bothered me.
When did I say it was done?
Back then.
No, I didn't. I said the beginning of the season. Yeah, you see, look, this is why I got to start. I got to repeat. I'm glad I'm here.
I know what you said about
it. Because I said at the beginning, I said 2 things. I want to see, one, can this team win 40 games?
Then
I said, 2, I want to see how Steph plays as the star.
I want to see if I want. A slight apology. I don't know if y'all told him, though, but the Wizards are right in the playoff plan.
They ain't gonna win 50 games. I'm still wrong about that.
But they are in the playoff hunt. And his take on Julius Randle is super on point.
Hey, for every right, there's a wrong. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm 500 with my takes.
Do you understand? Like, it's like for every 10 wrongs, there's a right for you. That's how your
ratio. I'm just letting you know, right now, shit.
Well, I don't think you said Steph was overrated, though.
No, he never said that. No.
Yeah. I said he was top three as a superstar.
There's no way you say Steph can't create his own shot and not insinuate that he's overrated.
I didn't say he was done. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I'm not that high on Steph like y'all are. So if that means that I think he's overrated.
What do you mean by that?
That's what Q was trying to say in the chat today. Like, I'm not going to be kissing this nigga ass because he just making 50-point shots, but they still ninth in the West. Like, I don't, like, how does that, that doesn't mean nothing to me.
But what means something, though, is his efficiency rate. To me, it does. I don't look at it. If he was taking 50 shots a game and doing this, and they were losing every game, it'd be different. But they're winning these games now.
They ain't winning every game, though. That's why they're ninth in the West.
Not every game. They're winning more than they're losing,
because
though.
They're only 500. How are they winning more than they're losing?
Like, I'm going to give you an example. You take what Bradley Beal was doing early. Bradley Beal was being really impressive with his play, but it had no effect on wins and losses. Yep. Steph is winning these games single-handedly
That Wizards team is horrible.
Is Golden State much better?
Yeah, I was going to say. No, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that, yeah, you can have great performances and lose if the team is trash.
Oh, 100. Yeah. 100. But greatness overcomes that. Correct. Don't forget LeBron.
Steph ain't overcome a lot of that, though.
Don't forget LeBron won with Mo Williams, Anderson Varejao, Zildjunas Agauskas, and Wally motherfucking Zerbe. They won 66 fucking games.
If you put LeBron on that team, he'll probably be winning way more than Steph.
That's all I ask.
But Steph is carrying his team, though.
He is carrying his team.
And they're winning these games.
100%.
What's their record in the last
year? That's not carrying a team,
bro. What's their record in the last team?
The reason why you can never put LeBron and Steph in the same category.
There's multiple reasons.
Multiple. But I'm going to give you the gist of it. The reason why you can't put Steph and KD. The reason why I say KD
the reason why
player,
Steph isn't the best player in the world right now.
He cannot affect the game physically. And I'll maintain that to the day I die.
Holistically, or are you just talking about physically?
Physically. To be a dominant player in the NBA, to the point where you can overcome the shortcomings of your team, you got to be able to dominate the game at a physical level in addition to whatever your skill set is. If you cannot dominate at a physical level, it's going to be virtually impossible for you to win. Look at Isaiah Thomas. If Isaiah Thomas didn't have the bad boys behind him, would have never fucking won. As great as offensively as he was.
I don't know. He had to ask me that.
Here's another thing to that, though. What makes LeBron different is LeBron affects more areas of the game.
That's what I mean.
Steph's a scorer, but LeBron is a defender. He's a rebounder. He gets assists. He does it all.
That's what I mean. Physically affecting the game.
Mm-hmm.
That block on Andre Iguodala, Steph can't even fucking dream that shit.
Right.
But that, even though LeBron ain't make the shot, you don't get to the shot without the block. You got to be able to do that type of shit. That's the reason why I say KD, when he was with the Golden State Warriors, KD's the better player. Steph, you could say he's more impactful. He's more important. He's all of this type of shit. But it's hard to say that somebody's better than KD when he's a 7-foot shooting guard.
Yeah.
With no fucking flaw offensively.
Now, Steph will bring you back from 15 down 100%. Faster than anybody in the league.
But what happens when you need to stop to cement the game? It ain't going to be Steph.
It ain't Steph. Yeah.
If you need a block, if you need a switch off, Steph is exposed.
Right.
How often is LeBron exposed, offensively or defensively? How often is KD exposed?
Good answer.
People can't be perfect. Yeah. No, you're 100% right. Mm-hmm. But in the game, not when the whistle blows, but during the game when bodies are moving, you got to be able, as much as I love Dame, and I've said it for forever, and Carmelo's just passed his prime. But if Dame would have played with a prime Carmelo Anthony, they should have been competing for titles.
What do you think Dame would be doing on this team? Same results?
On what team? Golden State?
Warriors, yeah.
Same, if not worse.
I won't say worse.
He look, as much as I love Dame,
because Dame has played with some teams where it's just like, it's, you know what I'm saying, surrounded with guys.
When CJ was out, it was just, well, Melo was still
there. Dame was still balling and winning, though. He was still balling. He was still winning without CJ.
No, I know. That's what I was going. That's what I was about to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
You can't really name a lot of motherfuckers on the Blazers.
With Dame on this Golden State team, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, if we just took stuff off of Dame.
Same or worse?
I don't think it would be the same.
No?
Mm-mm.
Why?
You think it would be better or worse?
It'd be worse. Dame is a scorer. He's a good scorer. Nothing to take nothing away from Dame. It's just some of these shots that Steph is hitting. Dame wouldn't be able to hit those same shots.
But he'll score in another way.
Yeah, I'm saying. A 50 piece is a 50 piece.
Yeah, to a degree. Dame is more of a controlled scorer where Steph is just like, you don't know what the fuck is going to happen. And to me, that's when I look at them two guys, that's how I distinguish them. Dame is the person that worked to get to where he's at.
Yeah.
Steph, God said, there you go. Go do something with that. Just like LeBron. D-Wade had an interview the other day, and they were asking him, hey, you saw LeBron up close and personal. Like, what separates him? He said, God. God gave him all this shit.
That's it.
Like, the nigga 37, he looked like he saw. Does he play like a 37-year-old? No. He don't look like it. No. Steph's shooting ability.
He's playing like one now.
So on the bench.
They're 5-1. They're 5-1 in the last 6 games.
So you just need Steph
though.
To make the playoffs.
I need these.
So if Golden State make the playoffs, what would you say? Like, what's your assessment of the season for him?
I'm kind of with Nick a little bit on that, and not in a way that I'm taking away from Steph's greatness, but I am curious. Can you get this team to the playoffs? For me, it won't knock him down at all.
Right. I know.
But
I think
it'll be a good notch on his belt to not have anyone there and to get this team to the playoffs.
We've seen Russ do
where they are.
It gives credibility to the unanimous MVPs.
And he has missed a lot of games, which has impacted the record somewhat, you know. But, and you know, he has to play without a coach because I don't know what Steve Kerr doing.
Russ had a healthy squad, though, for the most part. You know what I'm saying? Like,
true.
But he had to average a triple-double to do that shit.
But he still had a healthy squad.
He's averaging a triple-double
like
now.
You're taking away Curry's.
Look where his team is at.
You're taking away Curry's right-hand man. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're kind of, you got to throw that.
But he still, it was a big three when they was winning titles.
And his left hand is playing like half of himself.
Yeah, right. So, like, Russell had a full squad. You know what I mean? It wasn't like.
What you mean? Draymond's one of the greatest defensive players of all time.
He is the greatest.
He's number one.
But they're five. Like I said, they're 5-1 in their last 6 games.
They're playing some bums, though.
They are.
You gotta beat who's on your record
they were.
Or on your schedule.
Let me look, because I looked at that. I didn't think it was
competition matters.
I think they're like 6-4, 7-3 in their last 10.
And this is the NBA, bro.
Like I said, they're 5-1 in them last 6. Though. Yeah. Let me see who they played them last 6.
The Cavs, though?
You gotta beat the Cavs.
That's what I'm saying. No, he's talking about this the NBA. You fail. I'm like, nigga, it's the Cavs.
But there's certain teams, of course, that you should win, but there's also context. When did they play the Cavs? Did they just play 3 other games? Was it a back-to-back? Like all of that shit matters. That's the reason why bad teams in the NBA get wins that they're not supposed to.
They beat the Sixers, Thunder.
Oh, that's a bad win, huh?
Nuggets.
I didn't say that.
Oh, okay.
I said the Cavs.
The Nuggets, the Rocket.
Rocket's bad.
Yeah. Sixers, Thunder, Nuggets, Sixers Rockets, and Cavs.
Yeah,
Thunder play hard.
Steph was cooking his
brother. Don't give us the Thunder play hard thing.
They don't?
Don't matter.
They get blown out or they game?
I mean, they beat them. My thing is they beat them 147-109 with half a
then
squad.
Then they didn't play hard.
They got beat by
they a young ass team.
How much Steph scored?
Steph scored 42. The concession worker scored
and probably 2.5 quarters.
This dude said the concession workers.
No, they're 2 good wins out of those 6. Yeah, I think the Sixers. I think when I saw they beat the Sixers, I was like, oh, that's good. The Nuggets, man.
Where?
Yeah.
Look, at the end of the day, you're supposed to win the games 100% on your schedule.
100%. But we sitting here bragging about that schedule like they mop it up on the elite of the elites.
Nah, but you gotta win.
They got the easiest schedule for the rest of the season.
Okay.
So we'll see how much
you still gotta win the fucking game.
Right. I think they will. See. He'll get in the playoffs.
If he don't get to the playoffs, I'm taking points off of that nigga. We Them Boys got a super chat. Who are we blaming for the Pelican struggles? Stan Van Gundy?
You can stop right there.
No.
David Griffin?
David Griffin. It's David Griffin's fault.
Yeah, because he picks.
Why? Because he started. Because he hired.
Because he picks. Well, he hired him, right?
He could have picked any freaking coach in the world.
I would have
picked Stan.
I'd rather have Jeff Van Gundy than Stan.
All right, yeah, I give it to Griffin.
I don't want Nan Van Gundy.
I give it to Griffin.
Nan one of them.
Yeah, Griffin. Griffin.
Only because of the Knicks connect.
I don't want Jeff holding my leg.
No, it's not even that. It's not even the Knicks connection, Nick. I just think again retreads and. Both of them offensively, they're not creative.
But what about Tibbs? You gave props to Tibbs, and we called him a retread early on.
But yeah, but it's only going to last for a year.
What with the Knicks?
Thank you.
Don't say that. Come on, Ken.
Thank you.
Don't tell me that.
Man, I didn't want to say it, but thank you for speaking.
And Ken, I was I was happy by the verdict today because I was like, they got justice.
Yeah.
But at the same time, because they were talking about the NBA shutting down, I was like, they gonna shut down when the Knicks doing the best. The best basketball I've seen in the last 5 years. And y'all gonna try to shut down.
Oh, man.
I was like, all right, that's the Lord right there.
Oh, man.
Look. The thing about fucking Van Gundy's, both of their ass. They're good defensive coaches, but they're not elite. Like, they were those elites. Like, bro, when you could hire Carlos Boozer. Boozer was one of the worst defensive players ever.
He hit him.
And he hit that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is real. Yeah.
he hit that.
Sure did.
And then just think about all of the Doc Rivers Celtics team. Who was the defensive coordinator? That was Thibodeau. They hung their hat on defense. Mm-hmm. Thibodeau is super elite. And for a 1 to 3 year stretch, he could maximize guys. Mm-hmm. But then, like I said, he's a nagger. He's going to start nagging you. That shit's going to weigh on you. The same way Stan Van Gundy is. And I don't remember what fucking... We do so much shit. I can't remember when the hell I said this. But something that always stuck out to me about Stan Van Gundy was Shaq's comments against him when he was the head coach of the
Miami Heat.
You
said it last week.
I said it last week. So I ain't going to reiterate the whole thing. Go back and watch that. But those Shaq comments always stuck with me. That's Shaq. You talking about the goofiest of the goofy? He don't really want to, you know what I'm saying? And like, you're nagging me? Shaq? Right. The hell wrong with you? And on top of all of that, what did Pat Riley do? Avery, you got to go.
Yeah.
Pat Riley know what the fuck he doing, bro. Mm-hmm. You got to go.
Yeah.
And then even on top of all of that, what was Stan Van Gundy's next job? Detroit. Have y'all recovered from that? That was one of the worst GM jobs ever.
They hardly ever work out because Doc had the same type of power, and we see how that went.
I'll ask you about that too. Yeah. Later on.
But I'll say this though.
Doc didn't Van Gundy got the Clippers though.
He went to the finals. Van Gundy went to the finals though.
With who?
With Dwight Howard.
With Orlando.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm saying you make it seem like he ain't been shit as a head coach. Like
one time, and then what they do? They trade goddamn Courtney Lee after an amazing rookie season, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever Stan Van Gundy is part of any type of decision making, it fucks up your organization. And we talked about it too. Stanley Johnson should have been a dog in the fucking NBA.
Yep.
From the moment I saw the guy, I said, "Oh, he built a little different. His mentality different. He's physical beyond his years." That's a guy that we need to look out for. What happened to him? He damn near out the league.
Yep.
Come on. When Stan Van Gundy is part of your decision-making process, you done fucked up already.
Right. I agree. And like you said earlier, you had about 10 better choices you could have made and probably got for the same money.
Cheaper.
And, yeah. You're right. And they just went in the wrong direction. I don't see what could have went on in that interview to let you think that this was a better hire choice to keep. I mean, first off, you already know you're not going to be able to keep Zion. The best thing you can do is get the best coach you can, coach him up, and then maybe he'll be willing to stay and say, I could put this team on my back and build a city up.
100%.
But you brought in Stan Van Gundy, and I don't understand where. But you know what I saw, though, that was tripping me out a little bit?
Mm.
They're giving Stan Van Gundy credit for Zion's success. They're saying he moves Zion to the point. So that's why they're having so much success now.
But it's not equating to wins.
It's not equating to wins.
So it is what it is.
But he's getting a lot of credit, and I'm tripping about that because I'm seeing that a lot.
I've seen it too, and I don't understand it. And if I'm David Griffin, if I'm in that interview and Stan Van Gundy is sitting next to me standing, I don't know how they did it, or video conference, when I start asking you about Detroit questions, there's nothing he could have told me that would have made me believe that we're going to be good.
And we'd have asked them questions.
And hell yeah, I would have asked them questions. Yeah. Why did you do this? Why did you do that?
Right.
Hell Hell no. There's nothing in the world that he could have told me to convince me that he was the guy. Right. And to me, where the Pelicans are, they're obviously in the beginning state or the beginning or not the beginning stages of a rebuild, because the beginning stages when you blow the shit up, you acquire the picks. David Griffin already did that. Now he got the pieces. To me, my opinion, the type of coach you need, I'm not going to give you necessarily a name in terms of who they could have hired, but a style of coach, Monty Williams. A guy that understands young players.
Right.
Let me talk to you. Let me talk to you in your language. Wasn't somebody
he,
that understands.
Wasn't he with New Orleans?
He was before.
And they fired him to bring his
somebody. Alvin Gentry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He got fired for Alvin Gentry. And even Alvin Gentry is a better coach than Stan Van Gundy, in my opinion. I don't like Alvin like that.
But Monty was, and that was right after his wife died, I think.
Yeah, he was
doing well, man.
Yeah. Look at Phoenix. Mm-hmm. Why do you think Phoenix is obviously?
It's Chris Paul. It's Chris Paul. It is Chris.
Okay,
Paul.
Okay. And answer
Chris Kleofis Paul.
Answer to me the bubble. Why did they do good in the bubble? They didn't have no CP in the bubble.
They knew he was coming.
What did they do in the bubble?
Went undefeated.
No, I'm talking about did they play after that regular season in the bubble? Were they in the playoffs?
No, because they were
because
so,
of what?
They were so stacked. They needed Portland to
it's
lose
not because
the
they lost the game. It's because the other teams didn't lose another
exactly. game. Yeah, they didn't lose a game
but
in the bubble.
They went undefeated.
My point is,
no matter what they did, it was out.
Right.
Basically. However, what we saw, the little bit that we saw in that bubble, that's all Monty. That's Monty. That's the power of a young coach with a young team.
No, that
team.
Was T.J. Warren. Well, he was on Indiana.
He was in Indiana, no.
Yo.
He got traded.
D-Book and Monty Williams is the reason why them boys was balling like that in that ball.
And just like D-Book's other seasons, he got his ass right home.
But it is what it is. Look, you got to start somewhere.
He's got to translate to wins,
but
bro.
But it ain't Stan Van Gundy. Look, Nick, what I'm trying to tell you is that where this team is now, they're not the fucking Lakers. They're not the Clippers. Mm-hmm. They're not the Nets. They're not even Boston. Boston, their young duo has been in the playoffs since the moment they got into the league.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different level of experience. The Phoenix Suns are a lot like the Clippers in terms of they're battling years of ineptitude.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're
not really, not like the Clippers. Are you
what?
Kidding me?
The
Suns had success. What are you talking about?
When was the last time?
I mean, it was the Nash era. But that's still sick. That's more
how
recent.
How long
that's,
ago is
that's,
that?
That's more recent than the Clippers. I'm saying that's more recent.
I get what he's saying.
That's more recent than the Clippers. Have though. Never
yeah,
been that good.
The Clippers have always been the
that's
door,
what
man. That's
what
he's saying.
But the Clippers got back Clippers, good with Lob City.
2 years ago?
Lob City.
That's the Clippers are just now in the... If you were a Clipper fan within the last, 5 to 10 years...
Yeah, they just
you,
got there.
You don't know what the Clippers were like before that.
But they've had more success than the Suns have in the last
and recently,
years.
Yeah, recently. Okay. I'm talking about like...
But he said within, years of
thank you.
Ineptitude.
And also, part of an organizational problem is who? The fucking owner.
Yeah.
They got rid of who? Brought in Steve Ballmer. Them motherfuckers been winning ever since.
So it take a racial slur to get
Robert Sarver has been the owner of the Phoenix Suns since damn Charles Barkley.
Hey, America, take notes.
You need a racial slur.
You get rid of the racism. Right. Get rid of the racist owners. You prosper.
I'm waiting on James Dolan to slip up. I'm waiting on that nigga to slip up, boy.
But yeah, no, man. Look. At the end of the day, Phoenix is in a good situation.
And I'm not vouching for Stan Van Gundy in New Orleans. I'm just saying that Zion's coming out party, you guys are probably pretty much assuming it was going to happen regardless.
Oh, yeah. It didn't matter.
If you could be the coach, it don't matter.
Hell yeah.
But he's going to get that. He's going to get
that. Because he's that good.
No, I'm saying like Stan Van Gundy's going to get that praise because of that, though.
But I think the Van Gundys are just highly regarded in that small circle of the NBA community for whatever reason. So they're going to get more praise than they deserve.
Yeah, they're really good on TV.
Yeah.
I love Jeff like on said, TV. Stan, yeah. I can't stand him.
Like I said, the crazy thing about that is, and I thought y'all were talking about New Orleans being on TV, which they are good on TV. New Orleans, that's what I thought y'all were speaking of when you said that. But they're losing these games, but still nobody's really talking about how they're losing games. They just talking about how good Zion is. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Because of where they are in the rebuild. If this was year 4, 5, 6 for New Orleans, the narrative will be way different. This mm-hmm. is the second year of Zion. Everybody knows that they're young. So they're going to give them the benefit of the doubt in addition to having Stan that gets all of this undue praise.
And like I said earlier, too, the reason why I also answered that question, David Griffin, is he let Drew Holiday go for Eric Bledsoe. To me, that was just the worst move you could ever make because you got two point guards starting alongside Zion, who's now the point guard. It just don't make a lot of sense.
What are you doing, Lonzo? Wise. Yeah.
Yeah, because Lonzo's a point guard. Eric Bledsoe's a point guard.
How many years does Bledsoe have?
Well, left in his NBA career?
Three?
Shit.
Well, no, on his contract. On his contract.
I think it's two left, I think.
Man, Eric Bledsoe was a dog back in the day.
Yeah, he had a nice little
when
run.
When he was with Phoenix.
Didn't they call him Baby Bron?
Yep.
They never, no one ever think about that shit again.
Nah.
What's next?
Because
we don't really care about Bledsoe contract.
Anthony Edwards.
I'm trying to justify it, though. I'm trying to justify the move.
We'll be back after this quick break.
It's time to turn off the lights and turn on the dark. Good evening, listener. I'm Steve Taylor, the host of Chilling Tales for Dark Nights, a horror anthology podcast where we invite you to leave behind your safe reality and descend with us into the frightening depths of the most terrifying imaginations in the world. With new original tales of terror each week, brought to vivid life with an original cast of voice talent and immersive sound design. If you, like us here at Chilling Tales, enjoy falling asleep with dark and dreadful visions dancing in your head, make sure to check out Chilling Tales for Dark Nights on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast horror fix. Go subscribe now so you don't miss a single spine-chilling, twisted tale of terror.
We're going to do the playoff things?
I don't know. Y'all ready to do it?
I could talk off my ass.
I know B got his. You got your list ready.
I know B can't ready.
Well, he ain't got his.
What was our list?
We gonna have to wait.
I probably can talk.
Playoff performances. Yeah, your favorite playoff
series.
Series.
Oh. The best playoff performances.
Shoot.
I got a list on here. Favorite.
I was saying. Hold on. So B, you did it where it was like favorite player playoff moments.
My favorite NBA Finals like performances.
So
like,
only finals?
Yeah, only finals.
See, I'll take that. That's my fault. I was just talking about playoff series, like the series themselves.
I was going about just the finals.
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about that, but we'll wait next week.
I missed all that.
We'll do the top five playoff series, like the series itself.
Whether it's a first rounder or a second rounder.
Yeah, exactly. Yo, like, damn, this was one of the best series I've ever seen.
Okay, so we just doing... We're not going like player performance.
No,
we could do that though.
We could do both. But this
I did mine's based off the final. I did like favorite player performances in NBA.
Where you going? Go ahead, run down your list then.
So top five playoff series and then top five playoff performances.
Wait, so hold on. You about to have him do his list, but we don't have
our list. Yeah, don't have a list either.
I thought he was ready to talk. I was like, shit.
He is ready to talk.
I thought we were gonna do it next week.
It's a little better if we all.
Yeah, that's fine.
Dang, you just crushed me.
Super chat. drink more water. Shout out to you. I thought Zion is a top eight superstar over Giannis and Jokic. Why is it the coach's fault and not the players? I thought a superstar makes the playoffs.
That's
a FIFA question right there, boy.
Yeah. But he wasn't on his superstar list. He was on mine.
Exactly.
And it wasn't my criteria. That wasn't that weighted that strong on my list.
Hey, I'm not going to contradict myself like that now. I didn't put him in my top eight. Now, he was an honorable mention because I think he has that potential, but he still hasn't proven shit.
I thought about it and how wrong I was. Like I said, I don't know if I said this last week, but...
You ain't, but go ahead.
I was wrong about Zion on my list. He should have been ninth. Mm. There's no way I should not have had... I felt disrespectful towards Luka. There's no way Luka should not have been on that list.
Luka's proven it already.
Yeah. And I think that I just forgot him. I don't know, but he's up there on the list.
I don't know why you're looking over here like I'm.
I was looking to say like shit. If that's what y'all want to say,
I'm just saying Luka has been the best player on a playoff team without KP and got them there and won a series.
Correct.
And pushed.
And they should have won.
They should have won.
He won a game.
No. They should have won.
Lucky ass three of that.
It wasn't the one against the
Because he had the black cat of the NBA, yeah. Reggie Jackson, on his ass.
Nah.
That's what it was.
He had the black cat of the NBA.
Luka did his thing in his playoff performance against
the Clippers. He also has Rick Carlisle and Chris Stapps Porzingis. Rick Carlisle is a hell of a coach.
Chris Stapps, stay hurt. He's going to never play.
I would never count. All this money to sit at home and rehab.
He still got Rick Carlisle.
Okay. That's his fault?
No, that's
his benefit.
Okay.
And we. Oh man.
Again, which is why coaching is so important.
So there's your answer. Drink more water. Zion don't have a Rick Carlisle. He has Stan Van Gundy.
See, we worked that out.
Yeah.
But
to answer his question, the reason why Zion is still a superstar, but he said over them. Yeah, he's not over them.
No, he's not.
But the reason why he's a superstar is because people will pay to see Zion play. Before, like I said, I think they pay to see Zion and Steph play before anybody in the league. Other than LeBron.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
They'll pay to watch Zion over Luka.
They would.
Box office than Luka.
They would. But that's why I say he's a superstar.
He's definitely more box office. Mm-hmm. 100.
But I can't put him over Luka because Luka's had more moments.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. So what do you want to talk about, Anthony Edwards?
Yeah, let's get on Anthony.
Look at here. Is that him or not?
Nope. Not.
LaMelo.
You still not. Think LaMelo's gonna?
Did you see the conversation me and Ken had the other day?
Mm-hmm. Nah, he don't be reading all that shit.
He don't be reading it.
He don't read nothing.
I don't.
He said he don't read nothing.
He don't.
He come in, drop his little stats, and then he dip out.
You said that Anthony Edwards is going to be insanely good, future Laker, and I said agree. He's not the Laker part.
No.
I said that he slept on.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
Well,
it's what you say about that, FIFO.
I never slept on him. I said he's going to be D-Wade 2.0.
Yeah, you always.
I was super high. I said he should have been the number one pick.
I said 3.0. Donnie Mitchell's D-Wade 2.0.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Fine. I agree with that,
Either way. But I've always been high on Anthony Edwards. Mm-hmm. He's going to be amazing. He's going to be amazing.
No.
Will you think he'd be better than LaMelo?
I think they're just two different players.
I'm just talking about
Well, better career? Yeah. You want to say? Maybe you want to say that. Better career?
Yeah. Here's the thing. Because they're two different players and their games are so different, you can't even compare their numbers. Like, I think LaMelo is going to get more rebounds and assists than him, but Anthony Edwards is going to score more.
See, and let me tell you who I see him being more of a Bradley Beal 2.0.
He's more physical than Bradley, though.
I don't think so. I think he has a physical
capability. You see that dunk?
What he missed?
Bro,
you talking about the one he made? Shelter. Yeah, that was nice.
He always be shitting on
me. I'm talking about the last game.
Anthony Edwards today, as a 19-year-old, is more physical than Bradley Beal, being 6-7 years in the league.
But he's more of a scorer than anything else. And let me tell you what my problem.
I agree.
That was Bradley Beal.
Let me tell you what my problem. That's what I said. That's why I say they're alike.
He just keeps switching.
No, but no, they score different though. Like Anthony Edwards is more of a rim attacker than Bradley Beal ever was.
See, that's the problem. Anthony Edwards should be more of a rim attacker. If you watch Anthony Edwards play, let me tell you what his problem is. And this is why Ken say he was slept on. I'm going to tell you why I say he was not. He's never been slept on. Is he good? Yeah, I ain't never say he wasn't good. Does he have a capabilities to be great? He does. But here's his problem now. We're talking about right now. Mm-hmm. The reason why he's not slept on is because this man, what he does more than anything else is he plays basketball as if you play a video game. And what I mean by that is when you're playing 2K, what's the thing you like to do the most? You're trying to get around so you can score. And I'm trying to shoot. If I can't get to the basket, I'm just going to pull up and shoot. He shoots a lot of pull up crazy threes that he ain't never making. He's missing a lot of shots. He's taking a bunch of shots. He's shooting 35% from the field.
Let me ask you a question. Who else is taking these shots outside of him? Who else do the Timberwolves got?
He has three players on that team that average more points per game than he do, but take less shots than him. This man takes more shots than Giannis. He takes more shots than Joel Embiid.
We talk about his team, though. I just said his team. I'm not talking about the league. I'm talking
on
about his team.
I told you he bounced around.
No. I'm going to stay on it. On his team, he takes more shots than anybody on the team.
Okay, who name those players that he's taking more shots than.
Cat. That averages more points than him?
No, I'm just talking about players. On
Cat.
Team. Mm-hmm.
He takes more shots than Cat, who averages more.
Okay.
He takes more shots than Russell, D'Angelo Russell.
Okay.
Who averages more points per game. He takes more shots than Malik Beasley.
Now you got to stand by that a little bit.
Yes.
How many years have all of those players been in the league?
Longer than him.
Okay.
But he takes more shots than all of them.
I understand that. Anthony Edwards is more talented than all of them.
Yes, very much so.
Number one.
I agree.
Number two. When it's I always cat. Talk about in that 3 to 5 year period, right, I always stress consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Part of consistency is understanding what shots to take and not to take.
Right.
That's the reason why the first question I asked you is, how long have these other guys been in the league?
Right.
They've been able to figure that out a little bit more.
Right, and he hadn't gotten there yet. And that's why I say he's not. But that's why I answered Ken's question by saying he's not slept on.
But what does that have to
Nobody
do with
sleeps
but
on
how
him.
Does any of that have to do with him being slept on? Because you just cited stats to me. That's Correct. All I heard.
Because you're not sleeping on this man. We're not. He shouldn't
Anthony
be getting
Edwards
praised.
Is second in field goal attempts per game in his team.
Who shoots more than him?
Towns averaged 17.6 field goal attempts a game.
That must have just went up because he was higher.
Second is Anthony Edwards with 16.5. Third is Beasley with 16.2.
And don't forget, Cat missed huge chunk of time this year.
Mm-hmm.
So he's working his way back.
And D'Angelo Russell was out for a minute too. So they're
no. That's what I'm saying. Like, who else is taking these shots? Like, you acting like he on a fucking Brooklyn Nets team. But like, he got a total.
The thing about it is the shots that he's taking though.
If he's a rookie, he's got
to
figure that shit out.
What does that have to do with him being slept on?
It has everything to do with it because you're not sleeping on this man. We're saying because he's scoring a bunch of points. Like, he's getting baskets and he's scoring points.
Why are you saying that he slept on, Ken?
When I say he slept on, when Q says what he's saying, to what I'm saying is that nobody's really paying attention yes. to what he's doing. People are sleeping on him because of the LaMelo Ball craze that took place.
And I think the record too.
And the record.
Yeah,
nobody's paying attention to fucking Minnesota.
Also the location.
But he giving me stats.
I ain't even talking about nothing. I'm just saying as far as him him affecting winning of the games. He ain't affecting them winning nothing.
He's a rookie.
But you giving
too.
Me all this about him being slept on.
LaMelo
wasn't really affecting the Hornets they unfortunately ran into the Knicks, my bad. But the Hornets. The Hornets was balling, right? We talked about
Hornets,
it. It was like
Hornets been 8-7 since Melo went out.
Yeah, we've dropped 4 slides. But here's the thing, and that's not a lot of times. And I said this. I went back and watched our Kobe episode. If y'all get a chance, go back and take a look at it. I said it then about Michael. I was talking about Michael Vick at the time, but I said the same thing about Cam Newton. It's certain players, when you get on a team, you change the whole attitude of your team. Your influence makes other people believe more in themselves and more in the product that you put on the court.
I mean, that sounds
That's cool. What LaMelo Ball brought to
we
the
ain't
Charlotte
talking
Hornets.
About LaMelo.
He didn't
Nobody
even finish his
all
year
about
yet.
LaMelo.
How are you talking about LaMelo in this high regard? He ain't even finished a full season yet.
Because you know what? It's the same regard that people were talking about Anthony Davis, Carmelo Anthony, LeBron James, D. Wade. They passed the eye test, regardless of whatever the numbers say.
But those were niggas who were already light years, like, this is a definite rookie of the year. LaMelo and Anthony Edwards is like,
no,
you gotta really look at it.
You don't have to compare. You don't have to compare.
Exactly.
Before the injury.
Because before the injury,
there's no compare.
But we don't know if LaMelo could have dropped off or all that.
No.
You know why he wouldn't have? Because the style of game.
Yeah,
he wasn't going to drop off. No. He's going to stay fairly consistent because of the way he plays.
And if not improved. And the reason why I say that, when you're talking about pass first guys, the more they play, the slower the game gets. He's
Jason
already
Kidd.
Seeing shit.
Jason Kidd, the prime example.
Exactly. Yeah. LaMelo's already seeing shit that most NBA 10-year vets
and he plays a different position, and Anthony Edwards, you know,
plays off the ball.
I think that I was misunderstanding what you were saying. Mm-hmm.
No,
No, because I like Anthony Edwards. Don't get me wrong. I like
him.
No,
we
don't.
You ain't never said nothing nice. I asked him, I was like, that dunk, you talking about the dunk he missed? No, that was a nice move. Why would I bring up a dunk he missed?
Because it was the last, I was watching the last game.
Why would I bring up a dunk he missed? We talk about highlights on this show.
Every single time I say Anthony Edwards, here he come with field goal percentage.
I do, man.
He talking about 35%. He take the most shots on his team.
He do, man.
Then he talk about Malik Beasley.
He take more shots than Giannis. So I like, nigga,
Malik
Beasley
averaging more points a game. He's frustrating to me because, like I said, I see the potential. I see what you see. He just ain't doing it.
He just gotta.
Most rookies that shoot at a high volume, they're gonna shoot a low percent.
What the AI shoot?
Right.
How many turnovers the AI have?
Right.
Right. How great did AI turn out?
Right.
And I looked at a lot of rookie field goal percentages. Most of them that they shoot like that, yeah, it's like a 40%.
That's what I'm saying. AI, yeah, that's natural.
We got a super chat.
He's averaging like 24, 6, and like 4 over the last month or so. Hey, so he's starting to figure it out.
I just watched that last game, and I said, I'm going to sit down and watch it intently, this one. Because I watched Minnesota play, but I don't watch them intently. But I was watching it, and what I saw was Cat was keeping them in the game early. Which I was like, I don't know why they just went away. But like I said, Anthony Edwards, which you said it too, and part of it is coaching. I don't blame it all on coaching, but part of it is. I'm like, teach him how to get the ball there so he can get the ball back and make positive things happen. Because that's what he went away from. They just completely ignored Cat. Like, this man had done, you know, came down and been beasting. But they just went away from it. It's like they ain't even looking for him. The only time Anthony Edwards passed the ball is when he can't get past his man or he can't just force up a shot. And it's like, somebody got to teach that man. Like, you can move it or you can pass the ball.
Who's going to teach him in Minnesota?
Yeah. But imagine when he learns and put all that stuff together.
Yeah, he's going to be a dog.
Man. I just hope he does. I hope he does.
We got a question for you, Sheldon. Marty McFly, shout out to you. Super chat.
What up, Marty?
He said, box office sounds suspiciously like record sales argument that Drake fans make. Who's better is what makes a superstar?
It's both. It's still both. Box office and record sales go together to me. I think it all goes hand in hand.
Tickets, or like
correct,
you selling a lot of tickets means that you're a superstar.
Correct, definitely. Wouldn't you say so?
That's the world we live in, right? Like when we say money makes the world go round, you got to be able to sell and sell ourselves. But here's the thing: like in my opinion, the reason why, again, why I keep Luka right now higher than Zion, I already said that. But the reason why I'm still so high on Zion, I think Zion is going to be a top three player in the NBA, is because he's not even scratching the surface. Like he still plays the game raw. It's not refined at all. No aspect of his game outside of his tight handle and his spin move. You watch that man at the top of the key with that in and out, and then he gets you with that quick spin. Yeah. I ain't seen nobody that size do that like that since Shaq.
And like Shaq say, that feet work is ridiculous on the block.
And then his explode, how quick he gets up.
Yeah.
Because for some reason, like when you watch him in high school, he gets higher. Maybe because he was lighter in high school. But his explosion is crazy. He still don't have a jump shot. He still don't have a move to get to a jump shot. The only jump shot he takes is when he's wide open. So he has so much that he can add to his game. And it's so crazy because look at the numbers and the efficiency he already has when he's not refined.
Right.
Luka is refined. Luka can't get that much better.
Right.
Luka ain't going to have...
The thing about Luka's game is that he can play at this ceiling for another 12
years. He got old man game. Luka going to be 42 doing what he doing.
Yeah.
That old ass slow ass step
back. It's not predicated off athleticism.
At all. You know he has the fundamentals. And I'm not saying that Zion don't have fundamentals because he does, but he can add so much.
He can grow.
Like name me three things Luka going to add to his game.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, blackface.
Huh?
Nothing.
I mean, you know, Luka is damn near done. The only thing that Luka is going to be able...
And there's nothing wrong with that.
And there's like nothing wrong with that.
He can play at this level for another 13 years. Yeah.
Like Luka is going to just... The things he could get better at, becoming more clutch, becoming more timely. Like defense, little shit like that.
Like little defense.
Exactly.
Yeah. No, only thing he can add is a little defense and better teammates. That's
it. Literally the sky is the limit for that man. And that's the reason why, again, Zion's going to be top two, top three in the league, bro. When it's all said and done.
I agree.
I told him that Luke was maxed out last year. But, you know, no one listened to me.
Maxed out, okay. What you mean?
That his ceiling was low.
Oh, but I agreed with that. I didn't disagree with you.
It's a long time. I'm old, so I can't remember.
You know, I feel you. I'm getting there too.
His ceiling is low because his floor is high.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what it is. He's starting
nowhere to go.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go.
Right.
And it's because he don't have the athletic. If Luka was more athletic, then I'd be like, oh, wait, hold on now. he could do some more things, but he don't got that.
Hey, man. I think we need to talk about Zach LaVine, bro.
What about about him not winning and stuff? He's not elevating.
Yeah.
I got a dip.
Yeah.
All right, bro.
Yeah, I was just thinking about like his run in Chicago, and now they got Vucevic. And I know Zach is hurt, so you know, that's impacting this run or whatever. But yeah, it's just like, what is he? Is he just going to be where is he going to go? He's not a guy that can win games or anything like that. Is he just going to be like a good player?
He's one of those guys, in my opinion, that is all-star, borderline superstar, depending on the night.
So he has about superstar performance.
But I feel like Chicago. Yes. Yeah, he's how long he been at Chicago now? Like
he's been there for a minute.
4 years.
That's why I'm asking. Like, yeah.
But here's the thing, though. Is it the
front office and coaching?
Yes, front office was a major issue, which is why they got rid of Paxton and Gar Foreman and all of them guys. Mm-hmm. They brought in a new regime. They got a new head coach. He didn't like Fred Hoiberg. He didn't like the replacement of Fred Hoiberg. Mm-hmm. He likes this coach. Zach LaVine is immensely talented.
Yeah.
Zach LaVine has become consistent. I can't even say, he got to work on consistency. No, mm-hmm. look at the field goal percentage, the three-point percentage, all of that. Can he get better defensively? Can he be more engaged defensively? Yes. When you're that athletic and rangy, you should be getting a little bit more steals, a couple more blocks, but also because of the ACLs, I kind of get it. Because
how the team looking? Like, who's
not good? That's what I was going to say.
So that may be the front office.
I think
development, though. It's not 100% the front office.
For him, he's best being the second best player. And I don't mean as far as being the best player. Mm-hmm. Playing with a player that could come in and be a leader on the team would help him. A Chris Paul, like we talk about, would be excellent with a person like Zach LaVine.
Yes.
Where you can get off and do you ain't got to be the leader.
And that's why I was so hyped when he went to the Sun, because I know Booker was gone.
Yeah,
that
Booker, was for Booker. Booker and was Zach LaVine are kind of
the same to a degree.
Like, let them do them, man. They ain't got to have no leadership role.
Okay, the same to a degree where Booker is elite shooting, Zach LaVine is elite athletically.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So they have similarities, different but similar. So I agree to a degree what you're saying, Shelton.
Mm-hmm.
Zach LaVine isn't going to be your best leader on a championship team, but he can be your best scorer on a championship
team. But it feels like he's just getting lost. So now they got Vucevic who can play. Mm-hmm. Zach LaVine's there.
Mid-season trade means there's a lot to work out.
He's supposed to be the lead dog. We know they were very dysfunctional in Chicago, but I feel like we could potentially be losing some of his best years. Like, he's going to be one of those guys that's going to have to go to a team.
100%. You know why?
Past his prime.
He is – there's not a lot of pure two guards in the league. He's a pure two. Booker's a pure two. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, pure twos need a point guard. And not for them. I'm going to get 30, mm-hmm. bro. I'm going to get 4. It's for everybody else because when I'm eating –
same thing with Clay.
Exactly. Because, when I'm eating, that means I got the ball in my hand. That means I'm attacking. I'm doing things.
Right.
But when I don't have the ball in my hand and I'm not creating for you, then you're not eating. And that takes away from what I do best, which is scoring. So, and think about it. Who was the point guard that was drafted by Minnesota? Chris Dunn.
Yeah.
Out the league. Yeah. Then they drafted Kobe White.
He's with Miami. I mean, he was with Atlanta.
But he's not a pure point guard, is he?
He might as well be out of the league.
Yeah,
but I like
Kobe White.
He's not a pure point guard.
He's not a pure point guard, and he's too inconsistent.
He's inconsistent and young. He only was at Carolina for a year. And
exactly. And he's not a pure playmaker. He's not a pure scorer.
Nah, none of that.
More of a scorer.
Yeah, he's more of a scorer. Yeah. He likes to score.
He's a shooter. Like, he likes to, shoot that thing. But when they were talking about potential Lonzo Ball trades.
Makes a difference.
Hey, so if there's any team that is going to give Lonzo money that the Pelicans don't want to give him, it has to be Chicago.
Yeah.
And then now Lonzo isn't the best player. Vucevic, you can argue, is the best player, but it firmly entrenches Zach LaVine to say, hey, go get buckets, bro.
I think among those players, Zach LaVine should be the best player.
100%.
Not Vucevic.
Correct.
Zach LaVine should be the best player. Yep. Lonzo handles everybody else. Hey, get everybody else involved. Yep. Hit open threes. That's all you got to do. And Vucevic, get your 2010.
Yep.
Because Markkanen is not that guy.
Nope. They tried to sell him, but nah.
He's not that guy. Nah. And going to what B was talking about a little bit, is it the front office? Yes, to a degree, but I think developing is more to their detriment than getting guys. Because I think that the Bulls, based off of where they've been drafting, they've done the best that they could.
Yeah.
But now you got to develop these guys, and they just have it.
They like that PJ Williams kid.
But like, what happened to the to the Bobby Portis. Where Bobby Portis?
Oh, Bobby Portis gone. They got rid of Portis the center.
In, Milwaukee.
What's the center they drafted a couple, last year or so? Light skin. He's gone.
Wendell Carter.
Wendell Carter. They got Wendell rid Carter. Of him.
Who was the guy that punched Mirotic? They got rid of him.
Yep.
They got rid of Mirotic. It's just, it feels like it's a revolving door.
But the thing about it is Wendell Carter is actually looking good. Where he's, I can't remember where he's at, but Milwaukee. I, you know, yeah. No, not Milwaukee. I forgot. I think he's in Orlando. But And some of those players in Orlando are starting to kind of look fairly decent.
They're rounding off.
But this is the reason why they needed to do this 4 years. They should have been got rid of Vucevic because Vucevic isn't going to. But either way, the Bulls.
Yeah.
The development. At this point, if you can go get you Lonzo Ball, it's not about developing now because now you have to pay. If the Bulls are going to acquire Lonzo Ball, it's because you paid them big money. You already paid Zach LaVine big money. Vucevic is already getting big money.
Mm-hmm.
So now the way that you develop this team is different.
Right.
Let me go get these veterans. Right. Let me get the guys that want to win. You know what I'm saying? Let me get the guys that believe in our young guys that can lead them and take the burden of the major responsibility off of the veterans. The veterans just be specialists. A J.J. Redick. I'm not saying, obviously, this player is not in the league anymore, but somebody like a Shane Battier. Those are the type of guys you got to go get now because you're paying your three young guys. Well, Vucevic ain't that young no more, but he's still younger. But now you're paying two out of the three, you know, superstars on your team. You got to go get guys that's going to play for $5-7 million a year.
Correct.
Got to get your role players.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you do. And it's time now. Like I said, it's time to start rounding that team off.
100%.
They drafted some talent, but a lot of times when you're drafting talent, you got to see how those guys are going to fit together.
Mm-hmm.
Those pieces still got to work. Even though they're different positions, you got to kind of see what that player development, when you talk about development, they got to grow with each other and off of each other. So a lot of times I think that the Bulls just fell short. But I don't understand why it's not a free agent destination. It's still Chicago.
It's still Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's something that you just said that I like. You know, you got to grow together. And I think sometimes for young players, roles are not defined. Sometimes you get drafted in the lottery, you think, oh, shit, I'm the man.
Mm-hmm.
And no, you're not the man. You need to calm the fuck down and figure out what the hell your role is.
Right.
And I think for the one player on Chicago that needs to figure that out the most, and I think now that they're starting to round out the roster a little bit more as to how they want to compete, is Lauri Markkanen.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be the stretch four. You need to be the guy that gets the rebounds, that Vucevic is blocking other dudes out, or you need to be the dude blocking dudes out so Vucevic can get his rebounds. You need to hit open shots. You need to dominate in the limited capacity that you're going to get shots because Vucevic is 2010, has been with or without nobody.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Zach LaVine is going to get damn near 30. And if they bring in a point guard, then you and that point guard need to be the best friends.
Yeah, I think they're going to get rid of Markkanen, man.
I think so, too.
He's been it's hurt very a possible. Lot lately. And I think they like P.J. Williams for the right. role to be that kind of glue guy, so to speak, at that four position. Go get these rebounds, score on putbacks or whatever, you know, and let everybody else do, you know, the other jobs. Yep. So I like Zach LaVine a lot. You know, we've always been very high on him as a player. And I just – you know, I'm just like, man, where is the impact? I understand there's a lot that go into that. So context matters in this situation. I just don't want him to just get lost in purgatory. And then we, you know, wonder what could have been.
He's one of those guys that, just like D-Book, I want to see in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because I think he plays with a chip on his shoulder. I think he's out here to prove to people that I belong.
Mm-hmm.
And the best proving ground for that is the playoffs. He's never tasted it. So I think the first time that we see Zach LaVine in them playoffs, man, he's finally got over the injury.
I was going to say it might be this year because they're in the 10th spot. So they are in the play-in as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Washington is tied with them, but they have the tiebreaker. So what's crazy is you know, as obscure as that team has been, they're still in the hunt, which is – it says a lot. And I'll be really interested in, and speaking of which, we got a super chat from ChillVibes24. We appreciate you as always. Just like you guys are excited to see what Booker do in the playoffs, I'm also excited to see what Trae Young does. Is it me or is he not being talked about as much?
He's not because he fell off the season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He look.
There's been a lot of issues in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. It really has.
Trae Young's rookie year was really good. Oh, yeah, I'm not even going to say really good. It was good.
Mm-hmm.
His second year was like, holy shit, are we really seeing Steph Curry 2.0? Mm-hmm. And this year he's come back down to earth a little bit.
Right. And maybe shooting. Because of the change in the coaches. Just
no, because he was struggling before the change of the coaches.
You think it was?
He was struggling with the players on his team and what his role is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. He's operating as the alpha, which he should. But you're not Steph Curry level alpha.
There you right. go.
You ain't second year Curry alpha.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you gotta. He's. I think almost Trae Young forgot that I'm a point guard first.
Uh huh.
And Trae Young, and I said it from day one. His best ability is passing. He gotta get. And this is also why I said it's partly Atlanta too. Atlanta gotta figure out whether it's an offensive system or different players. Mm-hmm. To get Trae Young off the ball a little bit more. He runs too, his usage percentage is too high.
Especially with all that talent on it.
Exactly. It's just, way it's too talent. High. Mm-hmm. And I think that is stunting the growth a little bit of Cameron.
Like Isaiah, man. Isaiah could score, but he definitely made sure everybody was involved.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're averaging, they're 8-2 in their last 10.
But see,
and he's averaging 25 and 10, yeah.
But they're hot and cold because they'll go through like a 10-game stretch where they're winning 80% of the games, then the next five they're like 1-4.
Yeah,
like so, consistency. Young team,
they've been playing well since the culture change, though.
Yeah,
they really have. Naomi Millen, they've been playing.
But yeah, great. I think John Collins got to get up out of there. They really need to get these young guys they drafted.
You know what's so interesting though, Ken? I feel 50-50 on John Collins because. When you look at his level of production, there's not many players that give you what he gives you.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm not willing to pay John Collins max money, and mm-hmm. that's what he wants.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he want max.
You know, so because I feel that if you pay John Collins max money, you are signing the check to purgatory again.
Yep.
Again. Mm-hmm. And it's hard for me to say that because again, how many guys 6'9", 6'10", 6'11", have three-point range, have basketball handling, can rebound, can play multiple, guard multiple positions? How many? There's not many guys that can do it at his level. But is he worth a max to this team?
Especially since it's clear to me, it seems to me at least, that he and Trae Young just don't get along.
And you know what's so interesting? Because like I want to say it was a year ago, like after Trae Young's rookie season, both of them was hooping in the ABL. You know what I'm saying? At Central Park and shit. And Trae was throwing like, no look out. Like, they just, it was like, oh shit. Like, this might be John Stockton Mailman 2.0. You know what I'm saying? Like, that chemistry, like, they were building it. So to see them just kind of fall off the rails this season, what that tells me is that one, if not both of them, think that they're bigger than what they are.
Yeah, egos.
So what's up with Cam Reddish and other dude from Virginia, Kevin Hunter?
Kevin Hunter's balling. He's taking the natural progression. Cam has been up
DeAndre
and down.
Hunter, yeah.
DeAndre Hunter, yeah.
Yeah, DeAndre Hunter.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cam's been up and down. And I think it's because, again, unclear defined roles.
Yep.
He don't know how and when I'm supposed to attack. And they have a logjam at the wing position, which is not necessarily a bad thing in the NBA, but you got to figure things out. Mm-hmm. And remember, the moment that they drafted both DeAndre and Cam, I said, Huter's out.
Mm-hmm.
And he may not be because he's balling this year, but you can't keep all three of them.
Somebody
I like Huter. And then they got the little center, the African.
Clint
Capella.
No. The rookie. I can't tell you his name.
I can't say it either.
Yeah. I can't tell you.
It starts with the O.
You know what? That's a truly loaded team.
Yes.
They're young.
They have one of the loaded, the deepest teams in the league 100%. Right now. They remind me of Denver in that aspect that they have.
And it's going to be their first time making the playoffs together?
If they keep it up,
yeah.
Oh, they
need that experience.
Period, because they're in fourth place right now.
They need that experience.
Gallinari.
So you got Bogdan. Gallinari is really a 3-4, right? But I'm just talking about perimeter guys. So you got Bogdan.
Oh, okay.
You got Cam. You got DeAndre. You got Kevin Huter. You can't keep four guys, especially when three of them on a rookie deal. When Kevin Huter is going to be due up next year.
Mm-hmm. So he out.
So in my opinion,
Lou Will,
but I think he's a trade chip. It depends on
who he is.
He's not here for long term. But like, it always comes down to what dominoes are going to fall. And I think it's going to speak volumes as to how they handle the Kevin Huter situation.
Mm-hmm.
You pay him both the, I think, and I, as much as I love DeAndre Hunter, you're going to have to make a tough decision with him. Cam Reddish is out. You sign Huter, Cam Reddish is gone. Because you just paid Bogdan.
I was high on Cam.
Me too.
I'm still holding on.
I still am too.
I was high on Cam too. It just might not be the right situation.
Exactly.
But if you can convince him to play a six-man role, like this can be your role, you come in and do your thing and you can kind of be a jack-of-all-trades kind of guy, he'll be okay. Because Cam can shoot. Cam mm-hmm. can play. He can do all those things. Mm-hmm. He's capable. He's an athlete. He can do a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. You just got to convince him that that's the role he needs to play.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know where I would like to see him? Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
Get him Ja Morant.
Him and Ja.
Get him some space where, you know, in crucial moments, obviously Ja is the guy. But Ja isn't always looking to score. Ja's looking, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. If I got the float, I'm going to take it, but I'm looking and you put a Cam Reddish in that mm-hmm. situation. Yeah. It's like, hey, bro, go get you 20 because we need it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. In Atlanta, when do we really need him to get 20?
You won't.
You see? Won't. So the fit doesn't fit the role here anymore.
Yeah.
So, and like I said, it depends on what to do with Kevin Huter. They sign him. Cam gone.
But I'm mad at Cam though, man, because he should have a chip on his shoulder. When he was at Duke, you know, you were there with RJ and Zion. Mm-hmm. You should have had a chip on your shoulder from that. And when he got to Atlanta, you know what I'm saying? He had Huter and those other players. He should have had a chip from that. It's kind of like he really don't, I don't know. Like I don't know what it takes to motivate him, but he needs it.
It's part of his personality.
Yep. Though. They've mm-hmm. said that about him.
He's like T Mac.
Yep. They've said that about him. That he's like that. You were talking highly about your Detroit Pistons. That's what I wanted to ask you about when I mentioned it earlier.
I just been looking at the rookies, you know, the three rookies that we got, you know, this past offseason, and Stewart, Sadiq, and Killian Hayes. He's back from his injury. He's been mm-hmm. out most of the year from his injury. But I mean, I'm just really pleased by how poised they looking. Like, and they all three play different positions. So they both feed off each other so well. They ain't even have a full offseason yet, and they seem to be. I've never seen a team just so happy playing, and I'm like, y'all got like the worst record in the East, but they're buying into what Troy Reaver, he's a GM, black GM that they hired from OKC. He was the president of basketball operations at OKC for 12 years.
Wonder why he got the job, Ken.
Mm.
Wow. Sam Presti.
Because he black? Affirmative action?
Because he learned from arguably the best drafting GM in the NBA.
And they've been giving them props on finding out, you know, Stewart and, mm-hmm. and Hayes and them, and they just been looking poised, man. They're rookies. So I'm like, look, if we can strike gold on this upcoming draft, I think as far as the building blocks, we just need to, like what you say, like get those role player guys. Because with those three youngins, man, I think we'll be
here's the thing. So in my opinion, this is my opinion, my mm-hmm. FIFA GM opinion. It's about timing, mm-hmm. right? Like, and you don't want to start filling up a young roster with wily veterans just yet, in my opinion.
Yeah, I know. Let these
need one more year.
Yeah, let these guys.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So that way you can see, okay, what are they together? Yeah. What's the ceiling? What's mm-hmm. the floor? What's mm-hmm. how are they playing? And then now you can figure out how to plug in mm-hmm. certain things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm saying, depending on what we do in this draft and stuff, and like if we can get another right piece. Yeah, if we luck up and get that first, if we luck up and get number one overall pick, that'd be crazy. Because with K,
are they the worst record like that?
We got the third worst record, so we're gonna have a lot of balls in that lottery if we keep at this pace. That's why I want them to lose some more.
Yeah,
but if we end up getting an old boy from Oklahoma State, we set at the wings.
Because where's Sadiq Bey from?
Villanova. Yeah, Villanova.
Yeah, he's been playing really well.
Man, he's been shooting the blood out that bad boy ball, man. Like he. Off the dribble, catch and shoot, and he can play defense. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with Killian Hayes. He's a point guard that can play defense.
So you like him now?
Yeah, he's starting to come around because he's playing like real. He had like, I think, 12 assists the other night. Like just him and Stewart was just. Bam.
Which one you think will be the first All-Star?
Probably Sadiq.
Mm.
Yeah, Sadiq.
You like him?
I mean, he's definitely had like some stretches where he had some good games. I mean, he had stretches where he shot like 1-for-8. You know, but he's a rookie. You know
what
I'm saying?
What about the Frenchman or African Frenchman?
I know you're talking about the guy who drafted like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
starts with last name, start with a D.
Yeah, he's called he had a
nice run
last year he did. Yeah.
I say he's still raw.
Yeah. But yeah, man, they seem to be buying in what Dwayne Casey's doing over there. So
I gotta watch more Detroit games. I've kept up with them through highlights and stuff and numbers.
Yeah,
but I haven't. Last
night was
them,
the first so night I saw all three of our rookies play good. Like Kelly and Hayes was on. Stewart had like 16 and 21 boards. And then Sadiq was like, I think 7 for 8 amount of arc. Like, yeah, they was.
I was like, damn,
okay, you know. But once they figure it out and figure out their identity, man. Like I said, I think Stewart is like pretty much like a better rebounding version of Draymond Green. You know what I'm saying? If that's his, mm-hmm. that can be his ceiling. Like mm-hmm. just a better mm-hmm. version, a rebounding version of him.
Who you want at one? If y'all get it,
Cunningham.
Cunningham.
Yeah. If we get Cunningham, we straight at the wings.
Yep.
Like we straight.
Yep.
We good.
Yep.
We don't even need nothing. The wings 1 through 4, we straight.
He's a future superstar.
Yeah. Yeah. If we get him, we straight. Mm-hmm. We don't even really, you know, we can just. Like FIFO said, this kind of that upcoming season, we have to see like, all right, so we need this. Okay, we probably need somebody off the bench. We need that. Okay, you know, that will be next season if we can luck up and get him. Because I know they was predicting, mocking. It was like, if we get the third pick, we'll get old boy from Gonzaga.
Jalen Suggs.
Yeah. Because he's a combo guard. Yeah. So they say him and Hayes will be in the backcourt
together.
Yeah,
they can play together.
Mm-hmm. So let's see.
Hey, man, this is a little off, but I wanted to tell you, I'm excited about these playoffs.
Because you weren't.
I'm more excited about the West playoffs than I am the East, me personally.
I wasn't excited. East is top heavy. I wasn't excited about the East.
Get interesting.
Yeah, I think so too. I agree. I wasn't excited about the East at first, but now I'm looking at it. You know, Boston is coming on. Like we said, you know.
Marcus Smart came back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. from 6 on down, you know, you got Boston. New York is playing well. Atlanta's playing awesome. They're playing probably better than anybody in the league right now. Milwaukee is picking it up a little bit. Brooklyn's going to get their horses back and Philly the same thing. That's top here. It is, you know, 1 through 6 is going to be tough. And we talk about the West. Everybody,
I'm intrigued. From the first round, whoever the first round matchups are, I'm going to be intrigued.
Man, this
like,
top.
The East, I'm like, second round going to get drama in the East, second round.
I mean, them top four teams ain't losing nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like even though you know, and the Lakers gonna get their guys back, they're fit.
Then you know Utah and Denver having key injuries. I mean, Donovan Mitchell looking? I know he got helped off the court. He didn't get carted off, but
he may be out for a minute.
Okay,
he's gonna miss a few games.
Okay,
you got Portland in 6. They're always Portland. You know when Dame they come back, fight. He gonna be Dame.
Mm-hmm.
You know you got Dallas doing what they do.
Suns that they might end up being a 1 seed. I mean, with what's the injury with Utah? You never know. Some might push up to a 1 seed. That'd be crazy.
That would be crazy.
That is crazy. They're only a game and a half out.
That'd be crazy if they be 1 seed.
Like you go from undefeated in the bubble to the number 1 seed in the West.
Yeah.
At that point, not only CP3 need to be in the conversation, he probably need to be in the top 3, like running for MVP.
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. And Monty got to win Coach of the Year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what are you talking?
Because they said it's between him and Quinn. Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Quinn, what he's been able to do this year.
Yeah.
And they're saying that the MVP voting is between Steph and Joker. Joker is leading right now.
No, nah, Joel?
Steph hasn't won enough in
no
my
No Joel
opinion.
Embiid?
Mm-mm. No Joel Embiid.
Because of the injuries?
Injury.
But he's that guy when he come back.
Man,
though.
Joel Embiid is playing like how I wanted him to play. Every time he go in the paint, he abused, somebody. I'm like, that's what the fuck I'm talking about, Joel.
You know what? And you know, I rarely play the race card, but I just think that how Doc talks to him is different.
You think so? Mm-hmm.
Look at how you play.
Man,
he's only taking like what, maybe 2 threes a game now?
Yeah.
If
anybody is even an inch shorter than him, which
everybody is.
He goes down low and he will
and
bang.
He's getting you with the Hakeem shit, bro.
Yes, man.
Mm-hmm. Man,
and then he's drawing double teams. He's getting big guys in foul trouble. I'm like, that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
They can't guard you. Get those guys in foul trouble and have these coaches scramble.
He's playing his size now.
Yeah. You know what? That's what I've been wanting
him
to do.
I know hindsight is 2020.
Uh-oh.
And I honestly don't remember exactly what I said.
Joel going to score 100 points.
No.
That's how he's breaking it down. He looked like he's ready to say that.
No. But I think I would have given up on Ben Simmons to get James Harden. Because you pair James Harden with Embiid?
Yeah.
Because already, you can't stop James Harden. Like, you just can't
stop
him. Ben
plays some good-ass defense, though.
Huh?
Ben Simmons
plays some good-ass defense, though. No, no, no. Of course. Look. But that's why you trade.
That's his value, yeah.
You're trading offense for defense. And the thing is, to me, the reason why I'm okay with it, because Joel provides enough defense, the rim protection. Yeah, you may not have it out here to shut dudes down from even getting there, but when you get there, you still got to go over this guy. But to me, James Harden is more dominant offensively than Ben Simmons is defensively. Mm-hmm. And with that being said, it's not even the three-point shot. It's not even the playmaking. It's the fact that James Harden by himself can get the entire team in foul trouble. And then you, on top of Embiid too, you're going to be in the bonus damn near half of the quarter with those two guys.
Yeah.
And then you're talking about pick and roll with him? And James, Clint Capella can never hit a three.
Right.
I'm not saying that, you know, Joel needs to shoot five of them, but I don't know. Like, just looking back now, and y'all know I'm a Ben Simmons guy. I would have traded Ben Simmons
for
James Harden.
I agree. Hindsight, 2020. Because you can use Thibault in that defensive role. You make him be what Ben Simmons is doing. Your job is to go stop whoever else is on that other side.
Yep.
And let that run with that.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm just glad Joel is playing aggressive now. He's playing like no one can guard him. That's all I've been wanting him to do.
That's true.
That's all I've been wanting him to do.
And, you know, to add to that, not only would that have helped Philly, it would have taken that power away from Brooklyn.
Oh, 100%.
So even more so than helping you, you hurting the strongest team.
Yep. You would have, in my opinion, at this point in the season, seeing what James Harden obviously has done with the Brooklyn Nets, we transplant that to the they would have been by far the favorite. Mm-hmm. And I think Brooklyn now with KD's injury, Kyrie's injury.
Harden's hurt too,
but.
Out indefinitely.
Mm-hmm. Is he?
Hamstring.
Yeah, and I know you're talking about, like, we don't know his injury situation, of course, with Philly, and this is hypothetical.
But either way, even without Harden, he still got Embiid. You know what I'm saying? And the way he's been playing, that's why I said hindsight. Because I didn't know if he could play like this all season.
Right.
And he has.
We didn't trust him to because he never done it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So now I trust him. I don't trust him. I trust Doc to get the best out of him.
And that's crazy because I can't remember who said it, but that was the knock on Doc that he couldn't elevate his players. I remember.
That was Nick saying that?
Yeah, Nick said
something like that. That was
Nick. Yeah. Because he's not high on
Doc. I remember saying it
he's not high on Doc Rivers.
Yeah. I'm like, man, Doc, he's elevated his players. He's got Ben to buy in on defense because Ben is better on defense than he ever was, even though he was already good on defense. Now he's locked in. Yeah, he's locked in.
Remember, I was saying earlier this season, I was like, man, Philly just look different. They do. Their whole body language is different.
They swag different.
Yeah, they something about them is different this year, so I would not be surprised if they represent
losing. They lost twice in the playoffs, three times in the playoffs.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, just since Doc got there, it's just like,
it's a different voice.
Doc's tapping into something.
Yeah.
It's a different voice because Brett Brown, again, I think perfect coach for the rebuild. Mm-hmm. Hey, let me show you guys how to be professional.
He was nice.
Let's do this. He was nice. Doc, like, look, motherfucker, I don't want a championship. This is what the fuck you need to do.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I don't think Doc is super forceful, but it just, whatever he says holds more weight. He's done more in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, and you got to respect that.
Yeah, I'm scared that might happen with Dwayne Casey if the Pistons start getting in their winning ways a little bit. I have a feeling it might be like, oh, we there, but we ain't going to send somebody else, and then we go over the top or whatever. So I'm curious if they're going to do that to the brother coach.
Yeah.
Because he did that with Toronto. You know, he turned Toronto into a 20-win season team.
Yeah, to 40, 50, then a 50, yeah, then a 60s.
Yeah.
I think with Detroit is interesting because, to me, Dwayne Casey is a guy that I don't particularly think as a championship coach, but I think it's only because he just hasn't had that roster. So right. I think he can be. I think the way that he's been able to turn around Toronto and stuff like that, and just what the product you see on the court, like Dwayne Casey teams play together. Mm-hmm. They're on the same fucking page.
Let me ask you this. Do you think if he would have stayed there next year, Kawhi Leonard would have came there and everything, you think he still would have won a championship with that same?
Nick Nurse did, Dwayne Casey could have done. You know what I'm saying? It's not that big of a difference in my opinion. But where the Detroit Pistons are now, I think
like we were literally in rebuild. Like we rebuild. Literally
year
literally
one.
Every, yeah, year we one of the rebuild.
It's inevitable that he'll be fired though.
Yep. Because the record's not going to support it.
Yeah.
But
like, what if next year we win 38 or whatever, be almost, and then the year after that we win 49-50. You know what I'm saying? Like
I'll tell you the way Dwayne Casey could keep his job. He has to have expedited growth and not just the growth, the players got to execute on the floor.
Yeah.
And not only that, it got to translate to the wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that if this year, you know, they're going to trash.
Lottery.
Next Top year, if you can get between 15 to 25 more wins than this year,
yeah.
Okay, you got your job. That third year, you got to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make the playoffs. I'm not saying, obviously, you ain't got to be number one, number two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Number 10, goddammit. Like, yeah. you got to make the playoffs.
Yeah.
That fourth year is crucial. If they plateau or they go backwards, it's
depends
a wrap.
Depends on what the GM and stuff do, what moves they make.
But here's the coach's job is never safe depending on whatever GM does, right? So it's regardless. It's about the win-loss for Dwayne Casey. If in that fourth year he slides or plateaus,
it's just
inevitable. You know, only... And the only reason is because he took it year one of the rebuild.
Yeah,
he could have been the coach fourth year coming in to take him over the top, but he's here at year one. So by year four, if there's a plateau or a slide, it's a wrap.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's not an indictment on him.
Yeah,
it's just the situation. Yeah,
situation. Yep.
Hmm. All right. I think that's the show for tonight. Oh,
sit up. Go ahead and close it.
Man, go ahead and hit that subscribe button, like this video as well. And we thank you guys for showing up. Thursday, will you be available Thursday? I know you're going out of town Friday.
This man is out of town. He's on a celebrity tour.
Damn right, bro.
That's what I'm talking about.
Hey, I was stuck in the house for the whole year.
I get it.
I'm taking my vacation right literally right to him.
Yeah. I'll let y'all know.
Okay, so there may or may not be a show Thursday.
Damn, so if I'm not here, there's no show.
Depends on how I feel. Nah, we'll probably do it. Maybe Manny and Q can come through.
You sure Q gonna come through?
Q, man.
Q sends out a whole list of like, this is what y'all gonna talk about on Thursday.
I know.
And then I saw your message.
What's Q? Like, yeah, what's Q is the dude? Was he the dude out the radio, our Ricky Smiley show, that always say he coming to work and don't
Gary
show
with
up?
With the T?
No, the one that don't ever show up.
I don't know. I don't listen to it.
I ain't listened to it in a long time. That's why I can't think of his name.
It's been a minute.
Black Tony or something like that. He always call in late. He always call in. That's Q.
Okay, well, we'll see. Stay tuned. Just subscribe to the channel. You'll get a notification as soon as it go up. So we'll catch you guys next time. We out. Peace.
Peace.